It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 464. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers, unattended, and on demand through firewalls. Try it free at www.instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at MikeTechShow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have one voicemail left over from last week that I forgot to play, so I'm getting to it tonight later in the show. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And, of course, on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. We also have the wiki, and that is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, links to the show notes and the audio. Great resource. I have a great show lined up. I have a couple questions for you that I need some help on for my clients. And one, it has totally stumped me and it makes no sense. I'm going to get into that. Then I have some stories from the trenches and some things that I've uncovered and worked on and resolved this week, and some surprises that I've ran into with clients. I want to get to all that. Just great, great stuff. And then, like I said, the voicemail. And then also I have email that I want to get to. So let's see if I have time to get to the email. First, just some administrative things. Next week, next Thursday, being the 4th of July, I'm not going to record on Thursday. So what I'd like to do is record the Mike Tech Show live Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm going to record a day early. Then I'm going to record, I'm hoping Tech Vets will be Tuesday night. Now, I'm going to have the option. I'm going to talk with Carrie. If it's not Tuesday night, then maybe we'll do a double podcast on Wednesday night where we'll do the Mike Tech Show first and then later on do the Tech Vet Show. So let's get started with where I need your help. So here's the situation. I have a client that they have a wireless access point in their office. It's a D-Link, and mostly everybody's wired, but they do have, you know, you have your iPhones and your iPad, and you have really just two laptops. When we do a speedtest.net, they have Comcast cable, with my laptop, with owner's laptop, we get 42 to 48 megabytes down, we get 8 megs up. Because it's always capped, Comcast, for their uplink. But we're getting really good downloads. And we also get the same download from a wired computer. So now, I have the COO of the company. And his laptop, he can only get 2 to 3 megs down. Of course, we think, well, there's something going on with his laptop, because everybody else has no problem. Well, he takes his laptop to other Wi-Fi hotspots, his wireless at home, and he has sent me pictures where he's getting 50 to 60 megs down. One Wi-Fi, he got like 45, but when he comes into the office, he only gets, you know, maybe 3, maybe 4 megs, sometimes not even that high. But since everybody else is okay with it, I said, you know what, let's just to try it out, let's swap the access point and I put a brand new media link router that I dummy down to an access point. I put it in. I test with everybody else, and everybody's connecting the same way. He just gets a couple megs more. He goes up to 8 meg. I don't understand. Why just this one person? Now, Barb in the chat said, try different channels. So I tried a whole new router, and that didn't help. I mean, I can try that. What could be blocking his and capping his download speed on his laptop, but only at this location, not other locations? And he's always in the same place. Now, I took his laptop to another location right beside it. By the way, this is a very, very, very small office. We're talking 3 employees. So we're talking very, very small. I took his laptop over, same problem. Took it to another spot, same problem. Anybody else that tries Wi-Fi, and when I say anybody else, it's just one other laptop. Kate actually has something I did not try. It's only wireless. And she said, did I try his wired connection? That is very interesting. I have not tried him wired. I've only tried him wireless because that's been the issue. I'm looking for suggestions here. I don't know if I've given you enough information, but all I know is it's this one laptop and only at our location. And I've tried different routers. Nobody else seems to be impacted. They always can have great download, but not his laptop. And it's an HP laptop. Any help, that'd be greatly appreciated. I have a problem, and it was brought up to me by Miles, who I don't think's in the chat tonight. I want to thank him. If you Google Mike Tech Show or Mike Nation, and you get MikeNation.net, when you see in Google, you'll get the first result, which is my website. But right under the website link, it says, this site may be compromised. Now, I clicked on that link, and I logged into Google with my account, and I had it run an independent malware test, like they said to do, to run their website tools. I ran a malware scan against my website and it came out clean. So why is Google listing my site when there's no infections, there's no problems? I'm suspecting that it could be a plugin I'm using right now, or maybe an updated plugin that is causing some kind of automatic response with Google. How do I get off this list? I filled out the information. It says it takes a long time for it to be processed. I did this a couple days ago, yet I'm still being listed as a compromised site, and my site's not compromised. At least I'm not seeing that it is in anywhere that I'm looking or any tools that I've run. Anybody that's been in that situation, how do I get out of it with Google? Is there some way to escalate getting that removed where it says this site may be compromised? Or is there anything else that I'm missing here that I could be doing? Could really use your help with that one. Thank you. So Saturday morning, I get a call from a client, and she has a Sony Vaio, and she describes her system now has a white screen when she boots. And that's it. She can't do anything. And I was like, wow, white screen. That could be hardware. It sounds like a display could be bad. Now, this is a Sony Vaio all-in-one desktop computer. So she says, Mike, it's not important now. I'm going to be traveling over the weekend. But, you know, put me on your list for this week to come out and check it out. I said, okay. A couple days ago, I go out to her house. And she's a real estate agent, and she does a lot of work from home. And I'm at her computer, and when I turn it off and turn it on, it boots. Now, she didn't tell me, I didn't ask, but she didn't tell me that she could see it boot, and she actually types her password, and this is Windows Vista Home. When you log in, it's after a couple seconds the screen goes white. And it was almost identical to the FBI scam, only I'm not seeing the text. I did a lot of Googling of the Sony Vaio and what it's lovingly called the white screen of death. And I really thought that I was going to be walking into a video problem. And it was not a video problem at all. Now that I see this, it begins to click. I think it is a virus. So I try to get into safe mode. And safe mode, once it takes a little bit, and in safe mode, it starts to reboot. Once when I think I'm getting in, it reboots. So it finally lets me log in to safe mode with command prompt. I get to the command prompt, and I run msconfig because it won't see my USB adapter yet. So I'm plugging in my USB adapter that has my USB key that has all of my software for solving problems, and it will not work. I get to run the safe mode with command prompt. I run msconfig. I uncheck everything. I say select all and run nothing at startup. And I go into the boot, and I was really glad I was able to run this, and boot, I say, to run in safe mode. I let it reboot. I go into safe mode, no problem. I run combo fix, and it finds, I was going to say, a couple. It finds hundreds of entries in the user's profile, that temp files and all sorts of bad stuff. The list just went on and on, hundreds and hundreds of things for the infection, and ripped it all out. Once that was done, it did a reboot. It finished, so it went back into safe mode. Once that was cleared up, so I make sure msconfig is set to be to boot in normal mode. I reboot, then I start running the gambit. I put, you know, I run TDSS killer. I run the junkware remover, oh man, was there a lot of junk. And then the adware cleaner, I run all my standard cleanup software. I run CCleaner. Then I make them buy Malwarebytes Pro. I put Malwarebytes on it, register it. The person does not have a backup. I have an external drive. And then the first thing I do is get a FABS auto backup. Just to like, sort of like a safety backup for me, for everything. Then I set the Vista built-in backup, so it'll back up weekly onto the external drive, and everything's fine. But here, I thought I was walking into a video problem. Had their model downloaded the latest update to their video driver, had that already thinking that that's what was going to be wrong, or if it was the monitor itself and the all-in-one, well, that would have been a little ugly because it's a few years old, and since it's running Vista, I probably would have counseled her into buying a new computer because now we're looking at the motherboard of this all-in-one unit. I had all these options that I thought was going to happen, and the main thing, my main objective was to get into safe mode and back up all of her files, since there was no backup of this system. So the moral of the story here is look for a virus first or some type of infection. So now I get a call on Tuesday morning from a client that cannot open any Word documents. Every Word document on this user system, when they open it, it said it's unreadable and it's just garbage. Yet they can create a new document in Word and open it up with no trouble. It seems to be all .docx files. So in preparing for this, I said I'll be out on Wednesday. When I get out there yesterday, I was very surprised when I seen the following, because I brought with me a list of all things to troubleshoot Word documents. I was going to open it and repair. I have three links tonight that if you ever have a Word document problem, if a problem opening a Word document or a corrupted Word document, man, do I got a lot of great things if that's what was really wrong. Once I get on site and I'm looking at the system, I see an HTML file. Read this to decrypt your files. I see this on the desktop, and I see it in every folder where there's documents, the music, the pictures, and their documents. We're very lucky here that this person only had about 10 Word documents and only two JPEGs because they were all encrypted. The infection that this person had, it's a new, or at least to me, it's a new ransomware that I've come across that they have instructions for you to go through and connect, and then you have to pay money to get the unencrypted phrase and the software. And there's no way you're going to go through these instructions, but the instructions are well written, and it says, you know, if you're on a LAN, you got to do this, and it gives you step by step how to go to this place. You download this executable, you run it. It was very well done, this HTML file. The infection that he got encrypted all of his JPEGs and all of his documents. And there is no way to unencrypt this. CombiFix and my suite of utilities running, you know, Malwarebytes and running all of our anti-infection programs clean the system out. But there are 10 documents. Now, luckily, there was nothing extremely urgent here. But what if he had several hundred documents? I'm now looking for, has anyone seen this? Have you experienced having an infection that encrypts the files on your system to the point where now there's no way you're going to be able to get to your files unless you had a backup prior to the time that it was infected? I don't see any other way of getting it. And yes, it is a, this is definitely ransomware, but pretty horrible. At least the FBI one we can fix and get back into our computer, and it's not changing anything. I gotta admit, the level of computer education for this user on a scale of 1 to 10, it would be 2, maybe 1.5. I went into the history for his browser. I really wanted to find how this came in. He hardly uses his computer. And when he uses it, he goes to, you know, two or three different websites, and they're all very innocent websites. The man's afraid to do anything with the computer. If you have files that are encrypted with a keyword, unless you have the program that encrypted it, and you have that keyword or key phrase to decrypt, you're not decrypting it. If this is the new way of holding a system for ransom, then everybody's better back up, because you better have everybody backing up on a regular basis, because that's the only way of recovering this, because you're not going to be able to get to these documents. I'm looking for your feedback on this particular infection. It's time to get to the voicemail for tonight. Give a listen.
Hi, Mike. This is Jack from jackstechcorner.com. I called in once before. We spoke a while back, and I was listening to your most recent show, and I had to call in because you've done the same thing that we did when we first started looking at this company. You were talking about the company Meraki, and you were calling it Meraki. I wanted to give you the correct pronunciation of the actual company itself. We're purchasing their wireless, and once again, their actual name is Meraki, not Marakai. Their wireless devices are amazing, and your caller before stated that he's, or your the email, I can't remember exactly what you had, but he was going to be doing the wireless controller. He got one sent to him for free with a free three-year access to the online control site. But we've looked at the actual overall cost, and if you look at the cost, we're apparently running Cisco equipment, and the Cisco gear, you purchase each access point for about $300. But the back-end controller cost us, I believe it was someone in the neighborhood of $12,000. So if you look at the overall price, we're going to buy 12 Meraki access points, and using their online component, even though you have to pay for that per access point to use the controller online, it's a much better solution because then you have access and control to those devices from wherever you have an internet connection, and it's a really, really nice system. Also, you talked about the mobile devices. We do use that to control our iPads at this point, and it is amazing. Anybody out there, if you're using the iPad syncing device from Apple, ditch that right away and go to Meraki.com. Okay, Mike, once again, I just wanted to throw it out there to you. I did meet those guys currently at recently at a conference, so I just wanted to throw it out there. It is Meraki. Thanks, Mike. You had great shows, and I listen to them every week. Once again, this is Jack from JacksTechCorner.com. Thanks. Take care, and talk to you next time. Bye.
Thanks, Jack. And Meraki, you know, I mispronounce a lot, so thank you for that. And also your follow-up and endorsement of their products. And I'll have the link to Meraki in the show notes this week. So, again, Jack, thank you for taking the time to record that. I want to just mention one other link I'm going to have in the show notes. And if you manage or have a Small Business Server 2008 or Small Business Server 2011, and you're running out of disk space on the C drive, I'm always running into this. I needed to clean up some space. And I searched and searched because there's a couple things you can, there's only so far you can go and so much you can do where you hit a wall. And I hit the wall. I was like, where can I free up more space for the C drive? I have a website that has some great solutions. And one of them was the text for a batch file to help clean up some obscure logs and some other things. So before you go in and you just follow these blindly, make sure it makes sense. Go through your system, the server. Check out something before you're gonna delete it. And also make sure that you have a very good backup of the server before you embark upon any cleanup solution. So I wanted to make sure I give that warning out there. Well, this was right after a backup one night, and I went in and I executed the script for the cleanup, and I immediately got 5 gigs back on the C drive, and that was nice. Now, there's a couple things that's going to take a little longer to do that I'm going to wait to a weekend to try to free up some more space. A great little website that I found this article on, cleaning up Small Business Server 2008, Small Business Server 2011 space. Let's get to some email. And as we're talking about space, I mentioned last week that the program, or I don't know if it was last week or the week before, the program that I really like, which is called TreeSize. Well, Levi, who is ex-wiser in the chat, and he's in the chat tonight, sent me the link for Space Sniffer. I will have that link in the show notes. I want to thank XWiser for that. Thank you very much. Ian, who I believe is also in the chat, he sent me a link for Repair Shopper Ticketing System. I registered and started playing with that. Now, I got to look to see, is there an iPhone app for that ticketing system? Because I started thinking about this, that I'm getting so many requests from clients that a couple are starting to fall through the cracks. And I don't like having that happen. So I mentioned that I need some kind of ticketing system to help log all of this and keep track of it. So I'm asking and putting the word out, all my fellow consultants out there and people who do repairs, what are you doing for a ticketing system to keep track of everything? And I'd be very interested in something for the, you know, an iOS app for my iPhone that I could say, oh, this is the next thing I got to solve. Or after I solve it, you know, I put it in there and I have access to it remotely. That would be excellent. So let's collaborate on that, and I will make sure that I share this with everybody. Thank you. This is from Chris, and it's a link to free Microsoft ebooks. Microsoft has a large collection of free ebooks for serious IT pros covering Office, Office 365, SharePoint, SQL Server, System Center, Visual Studio, Web Development, Windows, on and on. This is a blog that has links to all of these ebooks. Chris, thank you very, very much for that. So we got a jam-packed links for tonight's show. So make sure to come back to the website and visit that. This is from Teresa, and it's, hi, Mike. And this is a comment on the email encryption. I just finished listening to show 463 regarding email subject lines for the use of Smarsh to encrypt emails. I have a suggestion that might or might not be something you can use. Would it be possible to add the term that creates the encryption as a default on all email subject lines? Oh, you don't want that, because what if you're sending a message that you don't want someone to have to go through the process of logging into a portal? It's a good idea, and we could do something like that. This way, when they open a new email, the term they need to use will already be in the subject line. Now, that's an idea, and then they can always backspace and delete it if they don't want it encrypted. If they don't need it, they can delete the term when adding a subject. If they do need it, it's there, and they don't have to remember to add it. This, you know, as I've read this, and now reading it again, and as I read it on the air, this idea is starting to grow on me. Because encryption is absolutely necessary, it's better to err on the side of encrypting something that doesn't need it rather than the other way around. You know, I agree with you. I don't know if their email client will allow this. Well, they're using Outlook 2007, so I should be able to automate that. Though it is worth mentioning, and even the best people make mistakes or have a bad day. You know, you're absolutely right. Considering they send hundreds of those emails, making the default mail set to encrypt, if possible, will save the company many headaches. Thanks for the info on Smarsh. I don't need it now, but it's great to know these services are out there. Teresa, thank you so much for that and for that idea. And I'm going to think of a way to automate that within Outlook, and at least bring that up to the attention of the president and the CEO of the company, bring that option to their attention, and they might want to implement that. Thank you. This is from Clark PC, and I don't think he's in the chat tonight. And this is a link to the Windows 8.1 preview. So you can download for free and preview Windows 8.1. So if you have a system, and I would not do this on a production important computer, but if you have a system that's Windows 8 compliant, that you can download the preview and check out the changes between Windows 8 and now 8.1 that's on its way. This is from Rob. Some cool programs. Hi, Mike. Love the shows. I'm a new listener, and I have been going through the old podcasts. My regular job is CAD drafting, which I have done for about 25 years, since 1990. I have had a real interest in working on computers. I've been working on my A+ certification for networking, which has been a daunting task for me since there is so much information to learn. It may take me some time, but I'll get through it. Anyway, These two programs I use at work and thought your listeners might like to learn more about them. The first is PDF Merge, which is a web-based application but is really cool for splitting and merging PDF files. The other is a PDF editor, which is about $100 less than Adobe's version, and it's called Bluebeam Review, R-E-V-U. Bluebeam, I find it much easier to use than Adobe's. Thanks for doing all you do, and this is Rob. Rob, thank you very much for writing in. I will have links to both these programs, and anything that's cheaper than Adobe that allows you to fully edit a PDF and can be $100 cheaper is definitely worth looking at, because I know I have some clients that they have to have the full Adobe Acrobat, and to put out all that money, oh boy, it's expensive per desktop. Even if you get a bulk licensing with Adobe, it's not cheap. Adobe products aren't cheap. So thank you very much. That is the final. I got to all the email. I got to the voicemail. I got to the stories in the trenches. I hope you had a good time listening to this and that you've learned something. Make sure to go back to the website, miketechshow.com, to all of the links that I talked about. There's a lot of them, so I'm going to spend time making sure I build that all out properly. If you are purchasing anything from Amazon or know anybody that purchases items from Amazon, we all know somebody that buys from Amazon, use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price is the same, but a small percentage comes back to help support the show. I get a commission for all those sales. Thank you so much for your continued use of that. It really, really helps. It makes a difference. And that's amazon.mikenation.net. Also, a few things that we talked about tonight. Fabs Auto Backup for Tech. I have a link in the show notes for that. There's just nothing better when you got to grab all your settings from a desktop. And especially now, as we start to migrate from XP to Windows 7 or to Windows 8, it's, you know, a nice peace of mind knowing that you're going to get all those settings and grab it. And of course, Malwarebytes Pro, that is the de facto standard for anti-malware and fighting against all these horrible infections that we run into. All those purchases help support the show. You know, I only support programs that I love and that I personally use and recommend, just like the sponsor for tonight, Instant House Call. I use that on a regular basis. Check them out. Download the 15-day trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. That's it. Remember, next week, the show will be Wednesday night because of the 4th of July. Have a great weekend, everybody. A great week. And I'll see you same time, same channel, but a different day next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.